fast in just a moment, just a little while out of Isaiah chapter 58 before we go home today, and maybe we'll understand a little bit how and why the Holy Spirit was given out of this verse of Scripture and what we're to do with what we have been given. God has been lavish. My wife was talking about almost feeling guilty for enjoying His blessings to the degree of just saying, Lord, You've been so good. Amen. And yet, I had to remind her that He giveth us all things richly to enjoy. Say it with me, to enjoy. Amen. God blesses you. It's not worldly to enjoy the blessing. Can you say amen? I mean, if God gives you a nice automobile and you don't enjoy driving it, what's the point? He might as well have left you with your raggedy old car. He wants you to be thankful for your raggedy old one. But if He gives you something else, enjoy it. Praise God. I've often said, if someone, I don't need a Coupe de Ville. I really don't. But if someone gave me one, I would enjoy it. Amen. I wouldn't say, oh, no, Lord. Oh, no, I won't enjoy that. So I thought it would make Terry feel better because I knew he was headed for the dealership and just wanted him to know I would receive it gracious.
Well, is that
not? Heard that Whiter Shade of Pale song? It happened, right? I saw what that song was about right here. Some people don't look like they're enjoying their Christianity. Or the blessings that God has so lavished on us, and they begin with spiritual blessings. Amen. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So before you take an inventory of your earthly stock, and by the way, if you have a roof over your head, food in your belly, everybody got a belly pat. Amen. If you got don't do that to it. Just He's doing that Santa Claus thing, that Santa Claus jiggle back there. He did play Santa Claus for Publix. You know, it's a long time since Christmas. Get over it. Can you say amen? Wait till next year. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me. So many Christians don't look like they're enjoying their Christianity. They're so aware of demons and devils and whether their faith is going to work when they need it. And they're not keenly aware of God's love and acutely aware of His faithfulness. Amen. That takes the pressure off of you. Some people used to come to our church and they've been in nothing but deliverance ministries. And I believe in deliverance and I've seen devils cast out. And I've been part of casting out a devil before. But that is not what I'm called to do. I'm a preacher of the gospel. That just goes along with it. That's, amen. But people that were under just the deliverance ministry, they knew nothing little. I had a man come to me. There was actually involved in a ministry that had primarily deliverance. And he knew hardly anything about the love of God. He came into a service and heard about the love of God, and he just beamed and melted in his heart, and tears run down his cheeks. And he came after the service and shook my hand, and he said, you know, I knew all about spiritual warfare and demons and devils and the netherworld and the hierarchy of demons and evil angels and deception, but I didn't know about the love of God and about Jesus. And I thought, dear Lord, you don't want to go into that dark world, even with your armor on and your faith, unless you put on the armor of light. And when you put on the armor of light, it's not just about truth and righteousness and the word. You know what it's about? Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, put on Jesus as a garment. You know what some Christians need to do? In fact, if you haven't done it, you need to do it. Amen. When you're putting on your armor, understand you're putting on Jesus. Not just put it, see, you understand, Paul, when Paul put on Jesus, he put on the armor of God. Oh, you didn't hear me today. You say, but Brother Bimble, there's all these pieces of armor. I know. But it better be God's righteousness for your blessed plate to protect your heart from condemnation. Because if it isn't God's righteousness, Satan's going to pick you apart because you can't produce perfection. How many of you realize that? Amen. Don't ever demand of others what you can't produce yourself. And don't demand of yourself total perfection. I'm not opening the door for sinfulness. Don't walk in sin because it'll kill you. But what I'm telling you is, you're going to have to ask forgiveness from time to time. It's incorporated into the pattern prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Isn't there a place in there that says forgive us? Our what? our inevitable trespasses. Why? Because we're still locked into sin? No, because we're locked in a body, amen, and a flesh nature that we have to conquer constantly, or it's going to conquer us. And when it gets the upper hand, we can go to Him. If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, amen, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to do what? Cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? How much? Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put on the Penelope, when you put on the armor of God, you are in essence, essentially, putting on Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It's God's Word that is the sword of the Spirit. It's His righteousness. And being found in Him, Paul said, not having my own righteousness, which is by the law. See, he told a lie. He said, concerning himself, he said, I'm a Jew of the Jews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day according to the law. By the way, while we're talking law, I'm blameless. You know what God says about that? God says, if any man says he has no sin, he lies and does not the truth in his word. He says, you're not blameless. Well, why? Why? Because the Ten Commandments are like a 10-link chain. If Terry's truck breaks down and I get out my trusty, faithful S10 to go pull him in.
Amen.
And I got a chain in the back of my S10. What kind have you got? I'll be after you pretty soon, my S10. Amen. Got my cell phone. Don't call AAA. Call me. I want the blessing. On second thought, go ahead and call AAA. No, it might be. You work such crazy hours. If I hook a chain to his Nissan, and we take off, and that chain is rusty. Did you know it doesn't matter which link breaks? All of them, one of them, two of them, all it takes is one broken link, and we're separated. One. And the Bible said about God's law, the law, you know what it said? He that offends, say it with me, 1 point. One. Is guilty of what? Wait a minute. I've never committed adultery since I've been a Christian and saved. Amen? So, you mean I'm as guilty? You mean I can't look down? If I don't love God with all of my heart, I'm guilty of the whole law? I've never stole since I've been saved. I've never killed anybody since I've been saved. In fact, I didn't kill anybody before I got saved. Amen? Thought about it, but I never did it. Never really seriously thought about it, except one time. But anyway, that's another story. It's only one time. He that offends in one point is guilty of how much of the law? All of it. The hardest people Jesus had a time with was the self-righteous. The self-righteous didn't see their need for a Savior. Everybody else was glad to have one, but the self-righteous. And who was the, where was the self-righteous embedded in his day? Amen. They were in the hierarchy of religion. They were the priests, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. Everybody say Pharisees and Sadducees.
Pharisees.
Two men went up to the temple to play, one a Pharisee and one a publican. You know what a publican was? A publican was a man who was a Jew, but he was a tax collector for Caesar's Rome. And the way they paid them was you get a percentage of all the tax you collect. And they knew anybody greedy enough to go tax their own people that are occupied by Rome would really lay it on them, because they don't care about their own people. They want something for themselves. They were hated and would have been killed and stoned by the populace. Except they feared Caesar because they were under Rome's protection. You kill that tax collector, you're going to end up on that cross, and you really don't want to go there. But they were hated. And one of these guys went up to pray. I love Zacchaeus because he was a little guy. I love Zacchaeus. Jesus is preaching. Zacchaeus comes at the tail end of the crowd. He climbs up in a tree so he can get a view of Jesus. He's interested and intrigued by what this man is saying. Somewhere in his heart of greed, guilt has started to layer in. and someone is telling him that there's an answer for that. There's an antidote for his sin. Even though he's hated by everybody, he's being convicted. He's up in a tree and he's looking at Jesus from way off up in a tree so he could get a view. And you know what Jesus said? Right at the end of his message, he had all of these followers he could have went home with and taught and had a great time with. But he looks to that most hated man in that audience and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." And then Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. He said, "We're going to your house today for lunch." And yeah, that's a tall tree to do. And all those people saw him go to Zacchaeus' house. But when he got to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus is overwhelmed by the mercy and grace that the Holy One is wanting to come and sit down with him. Don't you love how God is when he comes down to reason with us? I love the book of Isaiah chapter 1, 18 and 19. "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and obey, your enemies..." You'll come out from under my covering, covenant people. "Your enemies will prevail over you." When you see enemies prevailing over God's people, it's not just always a lack of faith on our part. Sometimes if we trace it back, we've come out from under his covering through disobedience. Amen. And we just teach faith. Because it's easier just to believe God and stand on the word than it is to get down to business about following Christ obediently. How many know it's easier to believe God than forgive an enemy? Amen. Oh yeah, it's a lot easier. I've tried it. It's easier for me to say, "I believe you, Lord," than it is to say, "I forgive him. Rotten thing he just did to me, tore me all. Boy, I'd like to see, boy." And God says, "Forgive him." Because if you don't forgive him, the Father won't forgive you. And I'm saying, "But wait a minute, I don't need forgiveness. He's the one that needs forgiveness." No, honey, that's where you're wrong. He that offends in one point, offends in all. We all need forgiveness. Can you say amen? Zacchaeus was forgiven. He must have asked for it because God can't give it to you carte blanche. You have to repent to receive it from him. But it changed him from the inside out. He came back out and he said, "Anybody that I've defrauded, I want you to line up. Anybody that I've took more than what your land is worth..." Yes, we all have to pay our taxes, but if I've taken more than it's worth from you. Now what he had done, defrauding and taking all that he could, was so he could invest. And his investments had been lucrative with the money he had defrauded others out of. But you know what changed in him? Oh, we need to see some conversions. Amen. When people get saved. Can you say amen? Amen. Something that changes, praise God. Amen. He came back and said, "If I've defrauded you, line up." Must have been a long line. He said, "Listen, I'm not only going to give you back what I took from you, but because I took from you and made investments..." You can tell when somebody's really saved. Come on. See, he could have kept all the money he made off of their money and still give them their money back and still had a great deal of money. But he said, "I'm going to restore to you fourfold." That's what I've made off of your money, is four times the investment. I have taken your money, and right now, since I'm saved, I haven't taken it from you to keep. I took it from you to invest for you. Amen. And right now, if I took 100 from you, you're getting 400 back. If I took 4,000 from you, you're getting 4,000, did I say, from you? Fourfold, 16,000 back. Don't you just wish he had taken 50,000 from you? I mean, not for long, but just for a little while. Because he'd give you 200,000 back. Boy, that guy really got saved. Everybody say, "That guy really got saved." He encountered the grace and mercy of God. And it melted him, and Jesus knew his heart was ready. That's why he said, "You come down." When you put on Christ, you put on the armor of God. Take ye the whole armor of God. It comes as a whole. You don't take it in pieces. You take it as a whole, or you don't take it at all. You can't have the shield without the shoes. You can't have the shoes without the helmet. Can't have the helmet without the breastplate. This is a complete thing. You don't take it in increments. I used to think I've got the shield of faith. I'm working on the breastplate. No, you take. Listen. It is a whole garment. I know there's pieces to it, but when you take it, you take the whole of it, because you put on Jesus. The life that I, listen to faith here. Listen to the shield of faith. Paul said, since put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. It's another thing that's not taught in most spiritual warfare, submitting yourself to God first and foremost before you try to use the word, before you try to stand your ground, before you try to rebuke the devil and use your authority. Bow to his authority. Can you say amen? And then resist the devil. And something happens, praise God, not sometimes, but every single time. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Amen. Put on God's armor. Resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. I love the Greek word. It's run as in panic. Everybody say, run as in panic.
Run as in panic.
Thou believest. Why does he do that? Thou believest there's one God. Thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Everybody say, tremble. In the Greek, it means to have the skin to crawl with fear and to have the hair stand up on end. I don't know the scientific, biological thing that goes on, but if you get scared enough, sometimes the hair on your back of your neck stands up. The hair on your arms can stand up, but you got to get really, really scared for that to happen. Your skin to crawl. One day I was out with Tampa Electric. We were sitting in a pole in the middle of one of these Florida thunderstorms and thunder clashing and lightning flashing. And a streak of lightning struck near that truck. And there was this big boom like a shotgun in my ear. And I felt my skin crawl. I felt fear. I said, Lord, 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Here I am out in the middle of this thing that everybody's told to get out of. Amen. I'm on a hot run. That means you got to get out in it and get this wire back up. Y'all wanting to see your soap opera so bad. I got to get out there in the line crew and get it back on so you can see what happened to Dr. Hoopendicker and whoever he's dating at the present time. To think of the devil feeling that kind of fear way beyond that. Devils tremble. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will have the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. What did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Abide in me, and let my word abide in you. You'll ask what you will, and it will be given unto you. There's faith in it. You know what Paul said? The life that I now live, because he had put on Christ, what did he say? The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's better than just building your own, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Is that better than building your own?
Amen.
Do you know how quickly your faith can be shaken? Did you know that if you get a call, if you got a call from school that your daughter had been in a wreck, that an ambulance room, and she was in the emergency room having emergency surgery, that's going to shake you. It's got to shake you because you're human. Can you say amen? Listen, all kinds of things can shake us. So we need to put on something. We need to get our faith fixed in God's righteousness, God's word, God's power, God's peace. Your peace can be shaken. Most of your peace is shaken most of the time. Because I see it. I don't see joy either. Amen? I'm looking for joy. We sing about it. We talk about it. We read about it. Amen? My sword, please. My deadly weapon to the devil. Take you the sword of faith, which is the word. I don't mean just quote it. It's not just quoting the word.
Amen.
It's applying the word.
Amen.
Jesus didn't just quote the word. He quoted three scriptures out of Deuteronomy. And Satan leaveth him and tempteth him no more. Isn't that incredible? But Jesus was the Word incarnate. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Jesus wasn't just a proclaimer of the Word. He was a doer of the Word. In the volume of the book, it is written, I came to do thy will, O God. And so James warns us, if you're going to fight devils, if you're going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, you need to do more than quote this word and scream it. Listen, you've got to do more than tell the devil what the Word of God says. You need to let the Word of God tell you what God says to you. Can you say amen? You're on no ground to resist the devil while there's a rebel heart beating in you or in me. I struggle with this Bible. My flesh struggles with this. It tells me to love my enemies. Do you realize how much of you is going to have to get on a cross to do that? Every bit of you. Because the part of you that ain't on the cross is not going to love them. Amen. Amen? Amen? I heard one preacher put it this way. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That means you get one shot at me. I give you one shot. No, that's not what it means. It don't mean I get one shot at you before you jump on me and beat me black and blue. Can you say amen? Said he didn't say what to do after that. So in other words, you get the first hit, you better knock me out. Because I'm coming, buddy. Amen. So many of us Christians don't understand what it costs to follow Jesus Christ. When you put on Jesus, you put on the armor of God. You put on Jesus, you put on God's righteousness that He provides. You put on Jesus, it's His Word. Amen? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was what? The Word was what? Take ye the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Word was what? The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God. Can you say amen? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Let your loins be girt about with truth. What did Jesus say about Himself? Amen. They said, what is truth? He said, I'm the truth. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. What about peace? I'm glad that you asked. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can you say amen? In this world you shall have tribulation, but cheer up. Oh, that's a message the church needs to hear. Amen. If you're going to talk faith, amen, you need to start walking faith. And part of that is having joy instead of depression all the time. Amen. What kind of outfit are we talking faith while being simultaneously oppressed and depressed? Confused. God is not the author of confusion. Whatever's bugging you today, you need to shake it off. It ain't God. My peace I give to you. Honey, if you got on the shoes of peace, you better make sure it's His. Amen. Can you say amen? Every other kind of peace can be broken down and interrupted, but His peace will prevail even in the midst of trouble and trial and test and storm. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It is supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. Can you say, man, glory to God, hallelujah. It ain't nothing you did. It's something He does when He reigns as your King and your Lord, and your faith is exclusively in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Give I thee. Where's that shoes of peace come from? Put on Jesus. Amen. And make no provision for the flesh, where all the weakness is, and all the failure is, and all of the fighting is. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't you love that scripture in the Old Testament? It said, you shall not have to fight, which means physically with your strength and your energy in this battle. But the battle is not truly yours. The battle is the Lord's. You get into a teaching, it's your faith. It's your ability to stand on. It's you all the way through. The authority of the believer taken to the wrong extreme, to where it's all up to you for your victory. Then the weight of your victory is laying on you. What a heavy trip. Jesus said to people with a trip on them for their own, to try to be perfectly righteous, the trip was on, come unto me. Come to me. You that labor and you that are heavy laden. Who put that burden on them? The religious system of their day. Can you say amen? You that labor. You that are trying. Listen. You that labor. Listen. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul was laboring to be perfectly righteous. And he said, when I would do good, guess what? I find a law in my members. How many know it's in yours? Somebody cuts you off in traffic, you'll feel it. You went around three times, you finally see a parking space, and in comes this little Volkswagen, shoot, right in front of you. You'll feel it. Can you say, man, you're going to feel it. Somebody talks about you behind your back, and by the way, it ain't going to hurt you until somebody tells you what they said. But don't you know the person they said, now don't tell them what I said, they're going to come straight to you and tell you. Because the devil can't hurt you if you don't know they said it. So he's going to make sure you get it. Oh, he sent messengers to me many times is what people said. And I thought if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have known. And it don't do me any good to know. Because now I've got to process this. And I've got to crucify my flesh to process this. Because my flesh wants to call them up and say, hey, I heard what you said. And so that, don't ever tell me something somebody said unless I can tell them you told me.
That's right.
Is that a deal? Because when I call them up to confront them, I'm going to say, Mike said that you said. I want to know what you're talking about here. You can't remain anonymous if you're going to be the devil's errand boy. Amen? Amen? Is that fair?
Fair?
Amen. I used to have somebody call me all the time and tell me everything everybody said. I'd be having a great day. And somebody call me up and say, how you doing, Brother Vimble? I said, I'm doing great. How are you? I'm doing fine. And we'd have this little conversation. I'm full of faith. I thought, let's talk about God. We had a great service Sunday. And they'd tell me what somebody said. And of course, it was something they didn't like about me. Did you know we say things in private that's not supposed to get out that we probably, if we really thought it was going to be broadcast on the 6 o'clock news, amen, we might not say it. We might even love the person that we said it about. I mean, really love them and wouldn't want to hurt them for anything in the world. But just say, yeah, I don't know, Pamela. Sometimes she just, you know how she is. Sometimes she just, bless her heart. That's a southern thing. You say anything you want about anybody as long as you say bless their heart. Look at that dress. Dear Lord, have mercy. Good gracious alive. Look like a sack of potatoes in that dress there. So tight. Bless her heart. Look at that tie. Dear Lord, where did you get that? Down to Goodwill? My goodness. That thing, that's a pretty tie. That's why I picked him. Amen. Terry's got a pretty tie. Anyway, look at that tie. He got on a purple shirt. He got on a chartreuse tie. Well, that would go together. Let's see. He got on a purple shirt. He got on a yellow tie. And he got on a brown coat. And he got black pants. And he got yellow socks on. Dear Lord, he's from Barnum and Bailey. All he needs one of them, a red nose, a red thing on his nose. Can you say amen? And big shoes. Go to work for McDonald's, sell hamburgers. Bless his heart. That means I love him to pieces, but he has issues. Amen? Listen. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. His faith was based in something stronger than just his ability to develop a great force within himself. The life I now live in the flesh. And how many believe he lived a victorious life? Because he faced things that he faced. He said, I was beaten with rods three times. I was stoned and left for dead. They thought they'd kill me is how bad that I was battered by the stoning. I was given 39 stripes of the Jews on 5 separate occasions. Can you say, man, I was shipwrecked 3 times. There's only one account in Scripture in the book of Acts, but he said it happened to me on 3 occasions. On one of those occasions, I was lost at sea for a day and a night. I was among false brethren. I was hungered. I was naked. I was in all of these circumstances and in all of these things. Yea. Am I going to complain? He said, no. I'm going to rather glory. Amen. For none of these things will separate me from the love of... See, you got to... Come on, church. You got to do more than just put on biblical principles. You got to put on a biblical person. Can you say amen? It's a person that Paul put on. He put on Jesus Christ. And when he did, amen, he said, nothing will separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. What does love do? It believes all things. Sounds like faith to me. Can you say amen? What does love do? It endures all things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Love never ends and love never fails. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. But let's put something on the top shelf. Can you say amen? What's on the top shelf? Love. Because all of Paul's faith and fidelity to God was tied to God's love. Every bit of it. It's a faith that worketh by love. When you put on Jesus, you put on the love of God. Hallelujah. Epitomized. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. For God so loved that he gave, and for Jesus so loved that he hung on that cross, and for Jesus so loved the Holy Spirit was sent to hunt you down. Can you say amen? Amen. You can quote the word. I've seen people quote the word like a walking Bible, but they couldn't walk it out in their life. They never put on Jesus. They never fell back in love with him. But they can quote Scripture all day long, and the devil laughs in their face and scoffs at them. You don't just put on armor by learning how to quote this thing and having boldness to tell the devil what you know. Jesus didn't just say it is written. Jesus was literally living that out. He was obedient. Perfectly. We can't be perfectly obedient, but we can be perfectly sincere and honest when we miss it. Can you say amen? Better be his breastplate. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is by the law. Why? Because he offends in one point, is guilty of the whole law. But the righteousness which is of God by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's not, listen, you can't just read this thing and suddenly a force develop within you. When you read this book, I 1 year I talked about this and somebody went and bought me 3 Child's pop-up books. I was in the store the other day and I found a pop-up book. Have you ever seen a pop-up book? You open it up and if it's talking about Johnny Appleseed, you know, he's planting a seed and you open it up and there he is with his little pail and seed and he stands out. Amen. And then you see a tree, you open it up because the tree is grown and the apple tree comes out. I was always intrigued by the pop-up books. Anybody ever seen one of those? Wave at me if you've ever seen one. You need to get out more. You need to get out more. Go to the children's section of Walmart. You'll never get this sermon. You got 200 of them. You know what they're about. You collect them too. You love them. Amen. Take me back to my childhood. I used to stand looking at it. They'd pop out. Whoa, it's pretty. That's so great. I love 3D movies too. Oh, put Scrooge in 3D. I'm there. Amen. I just want to see it come right out there. You know what the Bible is? It's a pop-up book. You know what's supposed to pop out and stand out every time you open this book? Jesus. That's right. That's why down in South Africa, there's a tribe that calls the Bible the Jesus book. They call it the Jesus book because the missionaries that had ministered to them ministered who to them? Jesus to them. Can you say amen? So they would put on what? As their armor against the devil. They'd put on Jesus. So they'd have on a breastplate. They'd have their loins girt about with truth, their shoes with, amen, with the shoes of peace. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So they said, open. They said, why do you call this the Jesus book? They said, open it just about anywhere and you will find Jesus. How many know you will find him in Genesis? Amen. Because man is now convicted because he's naked. His conscience has been aware. He's aware that he's sinful. He's naked. He's afraid to face God this way. And what happens? The first blood was shed. To do what? To skin an animal. Who shed the blood? God did. Who brought the skin to Adam? God did. Can you say amen? What did that covering for his nakedness represent? The righteousness that we could receive when Jesus bled and died on that cross. That scarlet thread began in the book of Genesis and it ran to the end to the book of Revelation. John said, amen. John, oh my son, I got to preach this so we can quit. But amen, John looked for a lamb, but he saw a lion, but he saw a lamb that had been slain. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is supposed to pop up. When I see people that don't really know Jesus, they're not intimate with Jesus, they don't walk with a life with Jesus, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Angels, devils, death, life, or any other thing. Can you say amen? That's where that faith was coming from. You look in this book, a person is supposed to stand up. One man said, as I read the Bible, a man stood up. Can you say amen? A man stood up and a man stood out. What do you see? A faith formula to get a ring? A faith formula just to get healed by? You get healed by a man if you get healed. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Who raises them up? The Lord, a person? Not your faith, not our faith, but Jesus? Not your faith, not my faith, but Jesus? My faith is in Jesus to do that? The prayer of faith will save the sick and they'll just get up. No! There's a man involved. There was a fourth man in the fight. Can you say amen? God wants your faith in a man. A God man, but a man. A man that never a man spake like this man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants your walk with a person. He don't want you seeking power. He wants you seeking him. Come see a man. Not a method. A man. Be it known unto thee that through this man is preached unto you the remission of sins. Can you say amen? Amen. When they said don't preach or teach anymore in his name, they were talking about this man. Amen. When Philip went down to Samaria, he preached faith and healing to them. No, he preached this man to them. He preached Christ to them. Somebody say glory in here. I can't do this all by myself. I've read the books. I've listened to the tapes. Without this man, with all the books and all the tapes, I would have went under. This man delivered me. This man set me free. My son is free because a man set him free. The son... Who the Son sets free is really free. It's the real deal, Neil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're going to have a deliverance service. Jesus better show up. Can you say amen? You can't just use his name without him showing up. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, decided, amen, at a time like our economy, boy, you can find plenty of demon-possessed people out there. I remember when I went to church, I'm getting ready to close, but I remember when I went to church in Plant City, we got heavy into deliverance, and there's a time for that and a place for that. And when the occasion arises, God is up to the occasion. The seven sons of Sceva, Judah, saw them laying hands on people and demons crying and come out. And they decided, we're going to go into the business of casting out. The business of casting out demons. We're going to get rich. We're going to be wealthy. They're all over the place. Can you say, man, crazy people full of the devil. Man, there's so many crazy people full of the devil. We're going to be rich. We'll set up shop. Bring them in here. Bring them on. Line them up. Amen. And they had the formula. Come on, if you're going to get into biblical formulas, if that's where you're going to overcome, is just have a formula without him, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Can you say, man, the Son sets free. The prayer of faith saves the sick. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. You can't do this thing without God. You can't put on this armor without putting on him. When you put on him, you put on this armor. Quit just trying to build your faith and put on Jesus and live your life by the faith of the Son of God. My faith is shaken so many times, but his didn't. And he's the one that was upholding me with the right hand of his righteousness. The reason I'm standing today is not my great faith, but his great faithfulness. So the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm resting. We used to sing this, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. Doing what? Standing on faith and trying to win every battle by myself. No, that's not joy divine. You're living with an intensity. When God told Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Oh, what a load off. Everybody say, what a load off. The battle is not yours. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Except the Lord build the house. They that labor, it's all in vain. Except the Lord keep the city. Come on, honey. If the Lord isn't involved in your protection. Amen. They that wake, you're out there watching all night long. Said it's in vain. The enemy going to come. Don't matter if you see him or not. Whether it's a sneak attack or a full out attack at noonday, he's going to take the city. Except God show up. But if God is keeping the city, you can go in there and go to bed. You can have a good night's sleep. You can wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord morning. Can you say amen? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, and you will step out with the armor of God. It's called the armor of light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus will what? Cleanse you from all sin and iniquity and unrighteousness. Put on the armor of light. How do you do that? By walking in the light as he is in the light. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you hear the armor talk without Jesus, it's a sad thing, because all these Christians are ready for war all night long. What that I heard? That might be the devil. The devil, oh, and I'm not making light of the devil. I'm telling you, if he seated you with fear, amen, instead of God seating you with faith, every time you hear a limb crack outside, you're going to think a horde of demons are coming in. You better get your sword. You better get ready for battle. And there you are all night long ready for battle. How you feeling? I've been doing battle with the devil all night. Why? Why? The battle is the Lord's. Put on the Lord Jesus. Your faith can be shaken. You're not perfect in quoting the word. Most people are better at quoting it than living it. This thing will kill somebody. Don't ever let the kids get this. I was looking at that. I thought, dear Lord, we might need to lock this thing up. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. One edge is for the devil. Guess what the other edge is for? It's for our flesh. Ain't no problem using the word on the devil. It's that other edge. It's that other edge. I got that bad attitude all day, and God's word is hitting me right in the face. Say, why aren't you rejoicing? I said, the Lord, you know. He said, no, I don't know. Why don't you explain that to me? I said, well, Lord, I'm just not very loved and appreciated today. He says, so you're going to quit praising me for dying for you. on the cross because you're not loved and appreciated. He said, if I had thought the way you're thinking right now, I wouldn't have went to the cross so you could be saved. You know why I wouldn't? Because nobody loves and appreciates me. Why should I do this for people who don't love and appreciate me? Amen. For Peter, who's denying me. And he'll just pull that rug out from under you and say, okay, you got a choice. You either change your attitude so I can change your outcome, or you stay in that attitude so I can't bless you and give place to the devil. Can you say amen? And I have to make a choice, and you have to make a choice. There just needs to be more joy in the camp. And I told my wife yesterday, I'm hearing what some of you are facing and going through, setbacks and situations, and I'm so proud of you. I told you about that big church that I was asked to come preach in. I actually had lunch with their pastor, who he didn't know that the head deacon was asking me to come preach, which goes to show you who's really in charge. I had lunch with a guy that he don't even have no say who's going to preach. But anyway, moving right along. Head deacon in charge. Tell me about it. Pastor, just think he's in charge. They'll find out who's in charge. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But anyway, you know that kind of, it's great, it's fine. People, they got a thing going, but that's their thing. Amen. I want God to be in charge of this one. I don't even be in charge. I want God to be in charge. But I have authority while I'm preaching, so hang on just a couple of minutes. I've seen Christians go into this putting on the armor, trying to make peace happen in their life that they can't produce, trying to make faith strong, which they can't produce. When you go in that Bible, there's a misconception. It says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. And mainly what people are going to bring you to is twofold: the authority of the believer and the promises of God. Your authority over Satan and faith to receive the promises. But faith doesn't, listen, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's not the essence of faith. That's really, when it says faith is, that's what it is when it is active. When faith is active, that's what it is. But it's not the essence of it. That's not the sum total of faith. If it is, you're in big trouble with that definition of faith. Amen? Amen? Because what good is it for you to know what faith does when it's in existence if it isn't in existence yet? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this Bible, if you get in it, and you open this book, Jesus is going to keep popping up. Looking to the Scripture. There's something about the Scripture itself on the page that's going to produce a force. Isn't this all mystical? Doesn't that sound mystical? And now it's the force within you. So when you get victories, guess who gets the glory? You're not living your life by the faith of the Son of God. You're living your life by your great faith. And you walk like this through life. And when you get in your Mercedes, you say, look what my faith has gotten me. And when you drive up to your mansion, you say, look what faith has gotten me. My faith. And you write a book about yourself, called Mountain Moving Faith, that you yourself have. And who is the best example of that? Moi. I learned that from Miss Piggy. All my French came from Miss Piggy. Amen. Who's the spotlight going to be on? Me. And where else is the spotlight going to go? To your faith. But the spotlight in Scripture. Paul said, not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves. Here comes that man again, popping up again. Don't he just pop up everywhere? Can you say amen? Not that we are sufficient, even with the gifts, the Holy Ghost, the power, and the anointing. Everybody say the anointing. Can you say amen? Listen. 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 Not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. Can you say amen? What kind of credit did he take for all the supernatural gifts operating? Writing 13 books, 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Seeing third heaven, God's heaven. Can you say, man? What did he say? He said, by the grace of God, I am whatever I have become. And what did he want to talk about more than anything else among the people? His experiences. Oh, you could talk about his trip to heaven and the things. See, everybody sees different things. Everybody that says they've been there, Christians that say they've been there, they all see different things. They see Jesus this way and they see that this way. And the river of life was there. No, it was over here. Well, the way I remember it was over there. Well, you know, overload. Can you say amen? How many believe when we get there, we'll see it as it is?
Amen.
How many believe until we get there, we look through a glass like Paul said, darkly? How many believe our best revelation is like a smoked bottle? That's what darkly means. You can see vague images, but if you think you got a handle on it, you ain't seen nothing yet. Can you just wait till you see? We used to sing, my brand new home. My mansion over there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus keeps popping. Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you. With all these experiences, all of this faith, all of these victories, all of these healings, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and him crucified. Everything that's happened, everything that's ever going to happen, amen, that's truly of God is going to come through him and what he did on that cross. Put you on who? Put you on who? See, not only do you have your armor on, you can be wrapped. See, when you put on Jesus, you don't just put on this mighty armor against the devil. You know what else you put on? You put on his love. You wrap yourself in the love of God. The devil can't get fear in my heart, I can use God's word. If he can't get fear in my heart, I can wield the shield of faith. Because my faith is in the one who loved me enough to give himself for me, Paul said. Can you say, man, the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who did what? What was his faith attached to? Who gave it, loved me, and did what to prove it? To what degree? Gave himself for me. When a man sit in my audience that knew everything about every piece of the armor and was trying everything he knew to put it all on, but he's missed something. When he heard the love of God, peace came into his heart. Isn't that amazing? To know he was loved that much? Peace reigned in his heart. Amen. His heart just melted. He was able to relax in God's presence and enjoy this. The battle is not yours. God hasn't changed in the New Testament. He hadn't said, okay, from here on, it's your thing. You got the authority. If you don't take it, you die. You do have authority to use the name of Jesus. And we should use that name. But the one that we're kept by the power of God. Make no mistake about it. We're kept by the power of God. And the reason that power is made available is because of the love of God. I'll never leave you. If he hadn't kept his promise to you, you'd have been like a Dixie cup, man. He'd have wadded you up and said, you just failed me too many times. I'm just going to wad you up and throw you away. If you'd had to stand, you couldn't have done it. But somebody who loved you that much stood for you. Jesus loved you that much, man. He healed your liver. You were about a goner at one time. But you're not a goner. You're still around. And not only are you still around, you're in church, praise God. Amen. And you ain't perfect yet, I bet you. Okay? But you're here, being perfected. You realize what's happening right here? Your heart's open to God's word and God's love is coming all over you. Go pick that guitar up and write psalms for him like you're called to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Not because you're perfect enough, but because his perfect love is calling you, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 I dare you. I devil dog dare you to let the devil know I plead the blood of Jesus and I'm going to praise my King. I won't let him pull me off of the body of Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I say your love is going to break this thing down. Love is going to plunder hell and populate heaven. Put on Jesus. you'll have faith aplenty. Put on Jesus and you'll have righteousness to cover your heart. Hallelujah. Put on Jesus and you'll have the hobnailed boot of the Roman soldier that allowed him to stand his ground in the battle. Praise God. And remember, when you swing that sword, the Lord, it's the sword of the Lord. God watches over His word to perform it. You don't have to be in a strain when you do it. You stand on it. God brings it to pass. We pray the prayer of faith for Ditter. The Lord raises her up. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. How many want your Bible to become a pop-up book? It's so much fun to read. So much more fun to just read words on a page when something pops out every time you turn the page. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Some of you here looking at me like a calf at a new gate. You ever seen that wild look in a calf's eye? Never been a gate here before. What is that thing? Amen. You've been comfortable in church your whole life. That's what's wrong. You've been so comfortable in church your whole life. You get around something alive, you don't know what to do with it. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't run from it. Please don't run from it. The Lord would love you to love Him before you die. Can you say amen? The Lord would love you to let Him love you. The Lord would love you to get excited about Him and His great salvation. Praise God. Maybe somebody would believe what you say you believe if they could see you live and behave as if you truly believed it. Hallelujah. Amen. I can roll a stone away. Amen. God never asked us to do the supernatural. Who brought Him out of there? The one who had power over all of this. Jesus did. Amen. I can do an act of faith, but Jesus is the one. I can put oil on my fingers, and I got enough faith to lay my hand on people and believe that the healing virtue will come from Christ to heal them. Amen. I really believe that. I believe the reason those gifts and anointings were on those men, they took pieces of their garment, because when the Bible said, when the Holy Ghost comes, He'll testify of me. I believe He mediates the presence of Jesus. And I still believe Jesus is the healer. When all is said and done, it's not our faith in and of itself, and it's not our anointing. I believe Jesus is the healer. Can you say, how many believe with me, Jesus is the one? Looking to Jesus, the author. Pop-up book. Everybody say pop-up book. Just keeps popping up. I believe backsliders are going to come back to God. I believe frontsliders are going to go on in the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't God good today? I believe prayers are going to be answered. Praise the Lord. This breakthrough in my son has encouraged my faith. Amen. In the Lord. I'm just putting on Jesus tighter and tighter and wrapping myself in His love. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. Pop up. Amen. Oh, yes. Have faith in God. Oh, yes. Don't just, oh, come on. Have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. I want you to see the goodness of your God in the land of the living. When I bring you home, there'll be no more trouble, trials, tests, turmoil. When I bring you home, there'll be no death, no disease, no heartache, no heartbreak. When I bring you home and secure you for eternity, but yea, while you're upon the earth, all of these things will befall thee. Fear none of these things that shall come upon thee, saith the Lord, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, to help thee, to give thee grace and mercy. I will never, no, never leave you and never forsake you. Take courage in your heart and let faith arise. Yea, saith God, let me arise, and your enemies will be scattered, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just for those of you that I'm not looking at right now, if you're happy, and I'm sure you're going to tell me that you are, because you always tell me you got it all together, notify your face. The rest of us don't have a clue that you're happy. Can you say, man, in the world will never guess? But I believe there's a few people in here taking hold of this. I can put on Jesus. Can you say amen? Because I love him and I need him. Not only do I have on my armor, I have my great comforter, my great counselor, my great king. Amen. And nothing will separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Number 7, if you will. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to extol his name before we leave this room today. Friday, there is a communion service.